This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, feline friends. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Byrne. Now, for everyone listening, you probably either want a cat, have a cat, have had cats, you know, you're cat people. And they're special, right? Well, my guest today wrote this just a lovely book, and we're going to talk to her about it and dive a little deeper into what makes these cats that we have just so special for us. We'll be right back after this message.
Hey, pet parents. Ever wondered how to safely bring the great outdoors inside and connect your indoor pets with nature? Meet Pet Greens, the pioneers in organic live cat grass, catnip, and treats powered with green nutrition. Discover the healing properties of wheatgrass, packed with nutrients and gentle green fiber to support digestive health. Pet Greens helps your pets truly thrive inside. Check out our full range of live cat grass, catnip, and treats at petgreens.com. That's petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Kathy M. Finley. She is the author of My One-Eyed Three-Leg Therapist, How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you on. So what inspired you to write My One-Eyed Three-Legged Therapist?
Well, actually, the book started with the passing of my cat, Cleo. He had for 16 years and went through a whole bunch of trials and tribulations. And I was just so upset. And I had so many pictures of her, and I had always wanted, while I had her, to make a scrapbook, albums, and put pictures together. And I just decided, before I forgot about her antics, you know, all the details about living with her, I just start writing them down, mostly for to put in this scrapbook, or just so I could remember her and maybe to ease my pain of losing her. And as I started writing it, I realized she really was a unique cat, not only unique looking, but unique in attitude and catitude. And I felt that she had helped me so much, that her story so intertwined with mine and me becoming more self-confident, surviving a really abusive marriage. She was in the abusive marriage, surviving a bitter divorce. And I just became a different person. And I realized how much she had meant to me and how much she had done for me, that I decided, you know what? Somebody else might be able to benefit from this and realize if they're in a difficult situation, maybe there's something they can learn from us, and maybe they can understand how important that human-animal bond is, and I could make their lives better too, and some cats.
Listening to you, and after I read this, what came to mind is you probably have seen this. I've seen it mostly as not a bumper sticker, but a sticker. Who saved whom?
Right.
It's a paw print.
Right. I've seen it.
I've had fur babes most of my life, most of my adult life. And then, you know, one as a child that wasn't quite the same. And they give you something that it's hard to capture in words, but you did a great job of it. So let's go from the beginning. You said you went through a lot of abuse, and you talk about it in your book. And you went through a lot of struggles as a child, but you had a dog as a child, Woofy, that was helpful. Can you share that with us?
Well, actually, I was very young when I had Woofy. I just remember always going out in the backyard where we had a big fence with about 3 acres and, you know, hugging him and holding him and being with him. But he died shortly before my father died, and then my grandfather died, and we did not have a lot of money. And then actually, fast forward till I was about 11, and we ended up getting a cat. And that cat helped me through school because we didn't have a lot of money, so I didn't have nice clothes. My hair always seemed unruly. You know, kids called me fat, ugly, every name in the book. And I was always trying to do my best in school because I wanted to better myself and not be poor the rest of my life. When we got the cat, though, the cat really helped me because I was really at a low point as a kid, thinking, maybe I should just join my father in
Oh my
heaven.
God.
And I wanted to stay alive for my mother, but I was also miserable. And when the cat came into my life, I suddenly had someone who loved me unconditionally. I didn't care if my hair was unruly. I really wasn't fat. I was probably 10 pounds overweight. You know how bullies are. They pick on your vulnerabilities. And so anyway, it was really probably the cat that had more impact on my life. Although I was, I lost kind of three close friends. My father, my grandfather, and then or my dog first. And just all of those together just seemed to be hard for me.
That's a lot, especially for a child. And I'm sorry you dealt with such cruelty. Kids are cruel. I mean, and adults know more, but they're still cruel. Kids are cruel. And hopefully we're getting better at teaching our children to be more accepting of people that are different, just for whatever reason they're different. But it's hard when you're in it. I'm sorry you dealt with all that.
It made me a stronger person, and I think that gave me more empathy. And I don't, who knows what would have happened if everything in my life would have gone well. Maybe I would have been a different person and not as nice a person. It increased my humanity, although I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but it's still, it is what it is, and I'm here today. So, and animals and cats helped me overcome all the challenge as a child, but I obviously did still lacked self-esteem and self-confidence, which led to the abusive marriage.
So that was a whole other challenge. I mean, you mentioned in the book, or from what I inferred from reading, is you had this abusive childhood, and I'm not trying to be a therapist or, but from what I inferred from the book, so you probably didn't have a great self-esteem, and then you ended up in this abusive marriage, which is horrible, but you finally got out of it,
Right.
and I'm so sorry you dealt with that too. But once you got out of it, you found Cleo. How did Cleo come into your life?
I think it was meant to be because I had a job where I traveled a lot. It was fairly stressful, and I had been in a conference and a board meeting. It lasted about 10 days, and I mean, we worked, long hours each day. And it was a very demanding job, and it was out on, well, I was in Las Vegas in the on the West Coast, so I had to travel back to Indianapolis, all the time zone. But I got up to go to work the next day, and I just decided I wanted to go that lunchtime that day to get a cat. I wasn't, my ex-husband claimed he was allergic to cats. I don't think he was because he remarried and had a person who had cats and dogs. So I don't doubt people have allergies, but I think it was a way, another form of abuse from him to not allow me to have a cat. And so I just said, enough's enough. I'm going to go. I know I travel a lot, but I'll find a pet sitter. I'm going to get a cat. I'm tired of coming home to an empty home. I'm tired of coming home to these nasty messages on my answering machine from him because the divorce was still in the works. And I said, lunchtime, that's what I'm doing. I'm getting a cat and going to the Humane Society. Well, when I came into work that day, it was my birthday a few days before, and my staff basically had decided to celebrate my birthday, had my office all decorated. And when they all came in, they said, "Are you ready for your real surprise?" And I'm like, "Oh, I thought this was it." And they go, "No, we got another surprise for you." And they had Cleo, a little very small kitten who was just as adorable as ever. That's how I got her. And I felt that it was strange because she was gray and white. And my cat, as a kid, Lisa, who was a male cat, and I'm his name, was gray and white too. They had very similar markings. Lisa was long haired, but Cleo wasn't. But it was like all of a sudden, how did they know? And they didn't know that I had a gray and white cat. So I felt that was meant to be. And she was the runt of the litter. I took her to the vet. She had a heart murmur. And then, of course, later on, she developed two forms of cancer that resulted in one eye and three legs. But yeah, I would have had a cat that day no matter what. That's how I got Cleo. She was given to me, and she was the best best present in the entire world that I've ever gotten my whole life.
You know what? Sometimes I think things, and this is more, I guess, a spiritual thing, and I'm not trying to go in another direction, but you said, you know, meant to be. Sometimes I think you get what you need.
Right.
Like, this might, I don't want this to sound really, like, for lack of a better way to describe it, woo-woo, but sometimes the universe just provides, or some, whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever label you want to put, just provides what you need, and you get what you need.
I always thought my father was looking out after me, even after he died, and maybe, you know, he sent Lisa to me the first time. And then I kind of felt maybe somebody or somewhere or the universe. I don't know. I mean, yeah, God, whoever it is, wanted me to have this little angel that came into my life. And I had no idea she was going to change my life like she did.
So how you got Cleo was unusual because it was so unexpected. And you were going to look for a cat that day at the Humane Society. Did you have any expectations for Cleo?
No, I just wanted, I think, someone to come home to. I enjoyed because she was a character from the get-go. I mean, an attitude out the wazoo. She just did the funniest thing. She used to do these somersaults. And I mean, she would play and play and play and get herself into situations. And she just made me laugh. So she was that humor I needed. But yet, you know, she would curl up next to me at night. She would lay on me if I were watching TV and purr. She just provided everything I needed at that time. I felt my life, you know, I had been isolated from my friends. So I felt she provided the companionship. She provided the love because I felt nobody loved me anymore. And then she provided humor, which I think humor, as they say, is the best medicine. And she just made me laugh and entertain me and kept me going. And then just, I think, slowly but surely taught me some valuable lessons along with that. But initially, it was just the love, the humor, the entertainment.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want you, please share those lessons. We'll be right back. Hey, pet lovers, Michelle Fern here. Looking to enhance your pet's health, wellness, and longevity? Since they can't communicate their feelings directly, CRISPR Canine helps bridge the gap. Their simple cheek swab tests allow you to monitor your dog's health and well-being effortlessly. At CRISPR Canine, they use cutting-edge technology to analyze genetics, breed, and the groundbreaking field of epigenetics. This means you can understand how your dog is aging, how stress affects them, and even their oral health status, helping you stay ahead of conditions like gingivitis and bad breath. Take proactive steps towards your dog's health today. Visit Prosper Canine and order your test kits to start making informed decisions for your furry friend's well-being. Enter Best Bets and get 10% off all products at ProsperCanine.com. Prosper, the letter K, the number 9.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Kathy M. Finley. She is the author of My One-Eyed, Three-Legged Therapist. So, Kathy, before the break, you mentioned that Cleo taught you a lot. What did she teach you?
I think she taught me, well, I mean, maybe first and foremost about unconditional love. And then I was lovable. And actually, because of her, I made friends, repaired the... not a bad relationship with my mom. It was just that my ex-husband kind of distanced me from her and I wasn't sharing. I mean, she didn't even know I was in an abusive relationship. So shared that, you know, repaired that relationship. But I think, you know, she taught me that you can be yourself and you can do silly and stupid things sometimes. Like she'd, you know, be showing off and she'd walk on the edge of the bed and then she'd just walk right off the bed and fall. Or she'd fall... you know, get caught under a desk. One time she tied herself with yarn to the bedpost because she was playing so hard and I had to undo her. So she was able to be herself. I mean, later when she lost her eye and a leg, that, well, looks don't matter. You know, I had to lose an eye. I'd probably say, oh my gosh, nobody will love me. Everybody will hate me. you know, my looks are so important. And she taught me that didn't matter. She taught me that if you have a disability, like one eye and three legs, you adapt and you go on. She survived the cancer. And I think, you know, maybe the biggest lesson was kind of how, well, living your life fully and then kind of accepting that we all have to die sometime and we all lose people. And I was always, didn't know what I would do when my mom finally passed away. It was still very sad, and I, you know, very sad about it, but I was able to accept that maybe there is a life beyond this one. And
maybe
that we'll, you know, we'll all see each other again somewhere. I don't know what kind of form that will be and whatever, but it just kind of made me believe again in thing and hope.
And you also ended up in a good marriage. So
yes.
Do you think Cleo was somehow involved in preparing you to, you know, sometimes we have relationships that are in front of us and we're not prepared for them for some reason. Do you think Cleo helped you to accept this relationship?
Well, I mean, not to give away the book, but there's a whole chapter about it. She actually picked my current husband for me, or I'll give her credit for it. But I think in the lead up to that, before I started, I, you know, was hesitant on going out on dates again. Then I started doing it. What I didn't realize, I think, what she was doing to me was watching her self-esteem, was my self-esteem was growing, my self-confidence. And, you know, of course, I had been through one abusive marriage, and I didn't know that until after we were actually married. I mean, he was a sweet guy. And then, you know, after the marriage, it was all, everything changed.
Okay, before we talk about that, this is a funny story that you mentioned in your book about one of your dates that where she pulled on, she gave him a cat wedgie. Can you tell us about that? That was so funny.
Yeah, we were sitting by the fireplace and just watching the fire and talking. And you know how when guys sit down, sometimes your underwear shows. She just came up to the back of him and pulled his underwear and then let it go and snapped it, and he got really mad. I don't think he hated cats, he just hadn't been around cats, and he yelled at her and he said, "You stupid cat." And that was the end of the relationship. So I figured she ended that relationship. She also ended a relationship that I had with a couple days with a guy, and when he
I've never heard of a cat doing that before, but I know what you mean about when guys sit down, they get
She'd never done it, you know, I mean, for me or anything else. I'm sure at times too my underwear stuck out, but he decided to do it, and I guess he showed his true colors, that he didn't have a sense of humor. I thought it was hysterical, but he didn't have a sense of humor. And then another guy grabbed my breast and said, you know, he likes breasts. And all of a sudden, out of the, she wasn't even in that room, she just came running and basically almost knocked him over. And then he started screaming at her. And I was like, there's the end of that one. But the funny story with my husband, if you want me to tell that, I can tell that.
Yeah, sure.
Or if we have time. Yeah, I had been dating him for a while and finally decided he wasn't a serial killer. He seemed pretty nice and met his family. And so I had him pick me up at my home one day for, we were going out to dinner. And he came to the door, and I, you know, still had to put my socks and shoes on. So I said, "Well, just stay out here. This is Cleo." And I went to the back into the bedroom to finish putting getting dressed. Came back out, and the love seat is turned over. And what had happened is she was playing with these glitter balls, and she basically got one under the love seat, which she would do for me too. And she would look up at you, she'd lay on her back, look up at you with her eyes. This is when she did have two eyes, and looked pitiful. And so he picked up the, you know, love seat. He thought he could just pull the glitter ball out. Well, she went into the slit. There was actually a tear under the love seat, and got in that love seat. And then he couldn't put it back down because it was too low to the ground. So when I caught it, but, you know, came out, there's a love scene that's turned over. He told me later, he's like, well, that's the end of this relationship. She thought, I wonder why the love scene turned upside down. And I just thought it was funny because I looked at him and I said, well, you fell for her love seat, because she did that to me too one time, and I realized there was a slit under her. He didn't know that. But he took it all in good humor and thought it was cute, and he thought she was adorable. And the fact that he would do this for this cat he didn't know and hadn't even been around cats was just funny. And I knew that he really loved animals and he had a sense of humor, and we continued to date, and then we got married. But I feel he figured he was the one from the very beginning.
Sense of humor, likes cats, you know.
Right.
Okay, check, that's good. You know, those are always, you know, good signs.
Right. But I could pick up after being with her and I think my self-esteem building. I mean, even when there weren't some obvious things that they did that I didn't like, I was able to pick up much quicker on the fact that they were controlling and probably going to be abusive.
Right, because you can't control fur babes. You just can't. Cats especially. So if I remember right in the book, and I hope I am, so not that long after you got married, you found out about Cleo's cancer.
Right.
How did you discover that?
Well, she had a big black spot on her eye, and I took her, I was like, what in the heck's that? Took her to a regular vet, and he said, well, it's just a discoloration, but you probably should take her to an eye doctor and watch it, because as those discolorations can turn in from just a discoloration to melanoma. And he said, you know, once it does that, it goes to the brain and it goes very fast. So he recommended a cat eye doctor, and we went to the cat eye doctor for a number of years. And, you know, my current husband was, you know, he was fine with spending money and watching her. And then one day, you know, they said, it's real close. It's starting to turn, and we got to take out her eye. And I was concerned she wouldn't be able, you know, to jump, to do things, although they don't have the depth perception people have. And they said, you know, better a one-eyed cat than a dead cat. So I had the eye taken out. She adjusted right away. It didn't bother her. She was fine with it. So that was the first bout with cancer. The second one was in her leg. It was a fibrous sarcoma, which goes very fast. I was just petting her and noticed a kind of a ragged, hard lump in her back leg. Again, immediately called the vet, and then I brought her in right away, and they tested it, and it was that sarcoma. And the vet said, well, this is it can be very rapid growing. He took out the lump, but he said, you know, it's obvious that it can come back. So we got a cat oncologist about 4 hours away, and her recommendation, since it had been found in an early stage, that we take off her leg, which I was like, what do you mean? And she said, but that's the only thing that they found that actually worked. And if it was early enough and it was low in the leg and not near the hip, that that's the thing that seems to work the best. Brought her back and ended up doing that. And I mean, I really, you know, I was like, am I doing this? Is it going to hurt her? Is it going to be horrible? What kind of life is she going to have? And I mean, but I didn't want to lose her. And it turned out that, you know, it took her maybe about a week, but she was up and about and, you know, doing her thing. She played the sympathy card for a little while, but she we found her, you know, on places that would be gone, and she didn't hear us come home. She had jumped on. So she, you know, she went about her life. She continued to play. She continued to, you know, taunt her mother, brother, and went on living. So it, you know, she overcame her disability, and she didn't care what she looked like.
Did you think when you first found out about the first cancer, Cleo's eye, did you ever think, you know, I probably would have gone this way in your mind, that you've gone through so much and you needed this little cat, and this should not be happening to me or my cat. Why is this happening? Did that ever come through your mind?
Yes, that was a yes from my current cat who's sitting on my lap. Now she woke up. So sorry. Oh yeah, I kind of went through this thing and like, obviously, you know, why God, you gave me this wonderful, sweet little creature, and then you take her away from me? or you know what I mean, give her cancer so she won't be with me. And that's what I mean. Yes, I did think about that, and I was distraught about that. But she turned out to be a survivor. So, maybe the ultimate plan was that this was the lesson. I had so much more to learn from her, but I just couldn't learn it with her being a normal cat. I don't know. That didn't cross my mind.
Cleo also had a brother, Dickens.
Right, adopted brother, right?
Okay, and was that, did you get Dickens mostly as a playmate for Cleo? Two is always better than one when it comes to cats.
Yeah, here's another story that's, Dickens was meant to be in my life. I basically, same job, came into work one day and I had been again traveling and I noticed Cleo was becoming a little stranger. She was doing strange things to pet sitters, like sitting on their head, staring and, looking down into their eyes. And she was doing weird things, acting out. And I figured she was lonely. So when I got back from this trip, went into work, I figured, okay, this is going to be the day I am going to go to the Humane Society and pick out a playmate for Cleo. And I got to work and employees started coming in. And as I, one of my employees who was kind of behind me getting Cleo in the beginning, or kind of told the other staff members that she thought I needed a cat and was lonely. She came into the office and I went to give her a message because I had taken a message, I don't know, it was the night before or whatever. And I said, I just taken it to her and went to give her the message. And I noticed there's a cat carrier on the floor and I just looked at it, looked over at it. And she said, "Don't get mad. I'm taking him to the Humane Society today. He showed up at my house. I have five cats. Can't take any more. I'm gonna, don't worry about it. I'm not gonna let him out here." And I said, "Oh, let me see him." And he was a black cat, and he's probably about, oh, he was under a year. And he just ran out, ran onto my shoe, grabbed my leg, and started purring. So I said, "Can I borrow your carrier for the evening?"
Yep, it's like I'm coming home with you.
Yeah, I was like, "No, you're going to be mine. You are definitely going to be mine." And he was very, very sweet. But Cleo didn't take to him very well at first because she had, pretty much had the house to herself and everything. I think they got along when I wasn't there. I think a lot of it was to show me that she was still in charge. But toward the end of their lives, Dickens died first. They got along. I mean, it wasn't best friends, but they got along. But it was an interesting meshing of a male and a female. But he was a sweetheart. He was kind of a one-person cat. He was totally different than Cleo. She was a little bit more wired and, fun, but he was a little more staid. But he still was very, very, to me, very, very loving and very sweet cat. And yeah, I loved him too.
And they all have their personalities,
Oh, they're all different.
all
Yeah.
different. So, what message do you hope readers get when they read your book?
Well, I think what we need to kind of observe our animals and see how they accept challenges. Like I said, are they bothered by their looks? Do they let disabilities get in the way of what they're doing? I just think observing animals, I wouldn't recommend saying you just go out and find an animal because you need someone. But I think that will be the side effect of getting the animal, saving the animal. And I think also knowing that each animal is different. Every cat, I've had three cats since. I only have two now, that one of them just passed away, but they were all different. And none of them were like Cleo. None of them were like Dickens. I mean, they're all different. Don't expect the animal you adopt to be like a pet you used to have or whatever, or fall into the stereotypes of what they say about cats or dogs. They're all different. And I think we just need to accept their unconditional love and realize what they're teaching us and take those lessons. And hopefully that'll make us better people. If we're going through hard times, they're wonderful. They're there for us and they can help us through those hard times.
Absolutely. Kathy, you adopted, and I'm so glad you adopted the cats because there's so many that are out there that are either abandoned or the shelters are full. And Cleo, you didn't have her that long before she was one eye, what, three legs. And there's a lot of cats that are in shelters that have disabilities. What would you say to people if they're looking to get a cat and looking for shelters or maybe a disabled cat?
Actually, you know, when I get another cat, I will, you know, will be from a shelter. It will be probably older because they get overlooked. And I would not hesitate adopting one with disabilities because they tend to be neglected and overlooked, but they're often the ones that are most loving. I think it's like a kid, you know, kids that are disabled and stuff, that they're still very loving creatures, but they get overlooked. So I would say, you know, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be expenses, but I think it's worth, you know, taking in those ones that are disabled, taking in the older cats.
Yes, absolutely. It's always worth it. Always.
Yeah, it's always worth it. It comes back to you is what I'm saying. You know, the cost of caring for them, to me, what I gain from them. And I think, you know, any animal that's disabled or is older, you just learn from them. You continue to learn from them. And I think it continues to make you a better person, a better human.
And we need people to be better humans in this age, this world. There's so much craziness going on. Okay. That would be a topic for another show, but probably not about cats. So let's talk about where people can buy My One-Legged Therapist.
It's available on Amazon.com. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. And you can go to Purdue University Press. I don't know the exact URL, but you can Google Purdue University Press, which is the publisher. And then you can also get it through for them. They do have a human animal bond series because they have a big veterinary school at Purdue. So that's why they have this series of books that, you know, animals and their relation to people. Some of them are academic and some of them aren't.
I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude. I so appreciate that. You've been through so much, but you've also conquered so much. So I wish you the best and I wish you amazing success with your book. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
I hope everybody enjoyed this show. You know, one day they're going to write prescriptions and they're going to say, get a cat, right? It's already happening. And look what Cleo did, how amazing in Kathy's life. And be sure to check out My One-Eyed, Three-Legged Therapist. It will also be on the show page of this episode. So you can find out more. Go to PetLifeRadio.com, Catitude, and go to the show page. And depending on when you're listening to this, it might be one of the first shows you look at or might have to look through, but it'll be there. I want to thank my cat crew that sometimes rescues me. Thank you, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Thanks to my guest, Kathy Finley, for coming on Catitude. Thank you so much to everyone that listens to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. And of course, thank you to my amazing producer, Mark Winter, for working your magic. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.